Would you turn in your Bibles then to 1 Chronicles chapter 27? 1 Chronicles chapter 27. This whole context is really neat, but I want to pick out just one verse, verse 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse 28. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan the Gittite, and over the cellars of oil was Joash. I just want to focus in on the last phrase. Over the cellars of oil was Joash. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, it may not seem like much when we just read that phrase, but Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to be able to see some powerful truths that we might apply to our life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have in the context of these verses a list of the officers who served in David's court, along with each of the duties that they carried out. It must have been a great honor to be chosen by the king to serve him. Imagine if the President of the United States called you and offered you some office in his administration. Most people would be thrilled to death and consider it a very, very great honor. But have you ever considered that the Lord chooses men and women to serve in his administration and to serve him? As a matter of fact, he has given every believer a service in the body of Christ. There is a work that he has called us all to do. We were saved so that we might be of service to him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God ordained from the very beginning that we should be involved in good works, that we should walk in those works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." The reason for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit is so that we can be of service and profit the Lord and profit the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will." Talking about the gifts there. God divides his gifts and the spiritual gifts out to believers as he sees fit. We have gifts. Whether you realize it tonight or not, you are a gifted person in the body of Christ. And what a blessing it is to be used of the Lord. It's a blessing that is beyond compare with anything else, to be chosen, to be gifted, and to be enabled and used by the Lord. The list of officials from David's kingdom can teach us some lessons about serving the Lord. First of all, each person has a special place of service. If you read the context of those verses, you will see that each person had a special place of service and ministering to the king. God chooses what we do, where we will do it, and to what extent it is done. That song tonight was very good. I'll go where he wants me to go. I'll do what he wants me to do. I'll say what he wants me to say. No one else can do the job that you have been designed to do. God has called you for a specific purpose and has equipped you specially for that goal, for that purpose. Number two, each person was called by name. As you read through, again, the context of that passage, you will see that each person was called by name. God knows you by name. He cares for his people. He cares for those of his own. Number three, each person served in different capacities. God puts us where we are. We are to grow and we are to flourish where he has planted us. And number four, each person was placed where they were by the king. The king decided where they would be. Anywhere the Lord places you is a special place of service. He knows where he can use you the best. He knows where you will get the most glory for him. He knows where to put you so that you can edify the whole church. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We could spend a lot of time talking tonight about each of these duties that had been assigned in these verses. But again, I want you to look at verse 28. I want us to look at a man named Joash, who is simply called the keeper of the cellars of oil. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the keeper of the oil. You might wonder, what can we possibly learn from a passage such as this? Well, we can learn a lot. So we're going to look at the life of this man named Joash as I preach on this thought, the keeper of the oil. First thought tonight is this: we can learn about faithfulness to the Lord in our service. Here is a man who was of special service to the king. He was in charge of a very important commodity, oil. If you look at the Bible, you see that oil was used for a lot of things. Oil was used in the preparation of food. Oil was used as fuel for domestic and other kinds of lamps. Oil was used in their medicines. Oil was used for cosmetic ointments. Oil was used to anoint and refresh guests. Oil was used to anoint the dead. Oil in that culture, in their society, was extremely important. However, the job that Joash had was not one that attracted a lot of attention. He served the king, but he did it in the cellar. He served the king, but he did it in a dark, damp, and deserted cellar. I think that Joash represents much of the church this evening. Like Joash, many Christians serve the Lord in obscurity. Yet the service that they provide is absolutely essential for the life of the church. Many of you do things that people just don't notice. You're there, you're here by your attendance, you're serving the Lord faithfully, and I want you to know that your service is essential to the church. You know, it must have been hard to have stayed in the cellar. But if you want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, just be faithful to serve Him where He has placed you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What is the requirement for stewardship? First of all, it's that we just simply be faithful. If you always want to be in the will of the Lord, then keep on doing the last thing He told you to do until He tells you to do something else. Just be faithful where you are at. Just be faithful serving the Lord right now. Be faithful until He calls you home or He changes your assignment. Our job is only to be faithful. I believe that if we are involved in the Lord's work, we are doing the greatest work in the world. Anything else would be a step down. Number two, we can learn about obedience to the Lord in our service. The cellar, dark, damp, deserted. All of God's assignments are not pleasant. God calls you to a task. What a privilege that is. Because you know what it's saying? God is saying, Glenn, I have faith in you. I'm calling you because I have faith in you that you can do the job. Your obedience, even in a difficult place, shows that you have faith to God. Our duty is to deny self and obey the Lord. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Others might have mocked Joash. People will not always appreciate you. People will not always understand you. But serve the Lord and put Him first, and He'll pour out His blessings on you. Know that you will be rewarded for your faithfulness to the King. It doesn't matter if other people notice what you do. If we know that we are in the place that the Lord wants us to be, and we just keep the cellar of the oil, knowing that our King sees and takes notice of our service, that's enough. Joash did it out of love and out of service for the King. We serve the king not because we're noticed by others, but because we love him and we want to be of service to him. Just keep the oil. Number three, we can learn about humility in our service. There's a willingness to do any job. King David was willing to be a doorkeeper. In Psalm 84:10, he says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Keeping the oil was a thankless job, but he did it for the king. Do it for the king. You know, he sees every effort that you make. Sometimes we think we're doing things nobody's noticing, but the Lord notices. He sees every effort that we make, and he rewards every good work. He promises to reward us if we give a cup of cold water to somebody in his name. There's not a thing that we do that he does not notice. And in Proverbs 15:3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Just keep the oil. Looking out for the good of all. Sometimes the Lord's work is lonely work. You will be misunderstood, misrepresented, but every now and then the king will come to visit. And that makes everything worthwhile. All is well, and the job is worth it when the king comes to visit. Will it be worth it when we hear those words? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Just keep the oil. Number four, we can learn about the Holy Spirit in our service. And this is really the key point to the message this morning, or this evening. Oil is a symbol. It represents the Holy Spirit. We need some saints of God who will be keepers of the oil in our day. We need Christians who will be keepers of the Holy Spirit in our day. Keeping the oil takes a person who is Spirit-filled. Keeping the oil takes a person that is Spirit-led. The name Joash, interestingly enough, means Jehovah fired. This person is to be energized by God and will do the job of keeping the oil. We need to be Jehovah fired. We need to be energized by God himself to be keepers of the oil, keepers of the Holy Spirit. Our success is totally dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Without God's anointing, we will never be able to produce any lasting fruit. The church today is in dire need of the operation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. None of us can afford to minister or to witness or to work for the Lord with our minds intellectually only. We need the Spirit and the touch of God upon our lives. God said that no flesh would be able to glory in his presence. His anointing cannot rest upon the flesh, but only on that which has experienced the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We cannot continue to produce Christians who have a head knowledge but very little power in their lives. Power to live out the gospel, power to witness and tell others about Jesus Christ. We've got enough of those. We can't afford to have any more Christians like that. We need Christians who are Spirit-filled. We need to be keepers of the oil. It's our duty. Let me share with you how you can keep the oil. What things in your life will continue to produce the effort of the Holy Spirit within you. You cannot neglect. These are your duty. Prayer. Study of the Word of God. Holiness. Fasting. Obedience. All of those things will bring the Spirit of God into our lives so that we can operate under His power and a dependence upon the anointing of His Holy Spirit. We need to depend on that. We need to realize that we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own flesh. It won't work. We need some saints of God who will be keepers of the oil in our day. We need some who will keep old-fashioned preaching and teaching. We need some who will be involved in old-fashioned intercessory prayer, and those who will praise the Lord and have personal holiness lived out in their daily lives. In that day, the keeper of the oil literally kept the lights on in Israel. The keepers of the oil are those in the church who will keep the lights on. Those that are Jehovah Fire that will keep the lights burning in the house of God. We need people like that. You're here tonight. You are doing it. We need to continue to do that. We need to be keepers of the oil, keepers of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep the lights on in the house of God, in the church of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. It's not an option, by the way. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Those duties that we mentioned of prayer and fasting and studying of the Word, and they will be so much more effective if they are done with a constant and sincere and Spirit-led lifestyle. Acts chapter 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What's he saying? He's saying you're to keep the lights on, and you're to take the light first in your own area and then spread that light into the uttermost part of the world. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The anointing of God certainly includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the subsequent speaking in tongues. Humility is one of the greatest keys to anointing. And there is something so humbling about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit and allowing yourself to speak in an unknown language, in an unknown tongue. It's a humbling experience, and it comes many times before God powerfully uses people. And I think the reason is because if we can humble ourselves in this area, then we would be able to be humbled further in other dimensions of God's anointing. Keep the lights on. Keep the fire burning. Be a keeper of the oil. Be a keeper of the Holy Spirit. God is interested in keeping the Spirit going, both in the fruit of the Spirit and in the gifts of the Spirit. God is interested in us keeping both of those going. God desires a balance between the fruit, the character, and the power. You know, I really don't think that a person can keep the lights on, can keep the Spirit, unless they have character. Character is necessary in order to receive power. One of the uses of the anointing oil in the Bible was a figurative use which portrayed different character qualities that would receive the blessing of God. Some of the most important character qualities which the Bible connects with receiving the anointing of the Spirit are these. So, in other words, if you want to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you have to have the right character. This is the character that God is looking for. First of all, concern. Psalm 23:5. The psalmist said, thou anointest my head with oil. David was a shepherd concerned for his sheep, for his sheep's welfare. He was concerned about the flies and that which would bother the sheep, so he would anoint his head with oil. We also need to have a concern. If the Lord is going to use us, if we're going to keep the lights on, we have to be a people who have concern for others. Number two, giving. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal or the giving soul shall be made fat. It literally means be filled with oil. Diligence, Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat, filled with oil. Trust, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 25, he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat, with oil. Responsible, 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 16, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man, talking about Samuel, out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. Samuel was to anoint Saul to be king. Why? He thought he was responsible. God could trust Samuel. He was responsible. Righteousness, number 6, Psalm 45 and verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. God will anoint those who are righteous and who are seeking after righteousness. Number 7, purity. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. Talking about making yourself clean and pure. God wants us to have clean hands, pure heart. He's looking for those kinds of people that he can entrust with his spirit. Number 8, courage. Isaiah 21, verses 5 and 6. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. One of the jobs of the keeper of the oil was to watch for intruders, to guard the oil, to watch from those that would intrude and try to steal it. He was to keep an eye on the oil to make sure that none of it was stolen. We need watchers in our day. That was brought about in Sunday school, at least today. Still picture George standing on the pew over there. We need watchers. We need people who will be watchmen on the wall. We need some people who are wide awake, ensuring that the oil of the Spirit is not stolen by the thieves of complacency, apathy, worldliness, or popularities. The duty of the ancient watchman to watch, to not fall asleep on the job, but to watch. We need that same kind of commitment today. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. We need to watch for those who would try to corrupt our doctrine. Some would take our oil. Some would like to steal our oil. Revelation 3, 1 and 2, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. We need to be on guard. We need to be watchful. Somebody might try to steal the oil. It would be easy to let down the guard when alone and discouraged in the cellar. And that's why the Bible reminds us to be sober, be vigilant, always on guard, always watching, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Next, 9th, character quality, obedience. Obedience is necessary to be a keeper of the oil. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be any rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. And then 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Something happened to Saul, and it was like he'd never been anointed with oil in the first place. He'd lost the Spirit of God. Why? Because he was disobedient. To obey, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. There are three kinds of leaders. There's God-appointed leaders, there's self-appointed leaders, and there's man-appointed leaders. Saul was anointed as a man-made leader. He was the people's choice, and he was anointed out of oil from a man-made bowl. Listen, would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18, or chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8. So I want to point out to you the difference between a man-appointed leader and a God-appointed leader. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 10 through 19. And I want you to pay attention every time I say three words. Three words are, he will take. Every time I read those words, take note of them. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning with verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Man-made leaders, they want to take. They take. God's leaders give in an act of service. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. We'll have a king. They had a king who wound up as if he had never been anointed with oil in the first place. He had lost that anointing. Failed to be a keeper of the oil. Failed to keep the lights on in Israel. Another character quality, number 10, submissiveness. Leviticus 14:2. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Verse 12, and the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Number 11 says unity should really be meekness, because meekness is yielding our rights, and when we all yield our rights, there is unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Number 12, joy. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And number 13, humility and brokenness. What are these are character qualities of those who want to be keepers of the oil. Luke 7, verses 37 and 38, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, character is essential for the anointing, but that's not all it takes. For example, a man may be a very honest and virtuous plumber, but if he's not able to fix one's leaky sink, how much good is he to the person with the leaky sink? It's not only character that qualifies person to be used by God. God's anointing upon him for that ministry is also required. A person must have the power and the ability in the Lord to perform effectively. For example, when God chose Bezalel and Aholiab to build the pieces of furniture for the tabernacle in the wilderness, he didn't choose them just because they were men of integrity and had fine moral virtues. He chose them because he was going to anoint them by his Spirit in such a way that they would be able to be experts in their constructions. David, when he chose singers and players of instruments, musicians, to minister in his tabernacle, the Ark of the Tabernacle, he didn't choose people only because of their spiritual traits. He chose them also because he knew that they could play and sing skillfully. So it's not just character that brings anointing, it's also the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our ability that qualifies us. True, it's not always natural abilities or skills that are used by the Lord, but the point here is that God gives each person a special anointing for the work that they have to do. He enables them to minister and work for him effectively. We must be careful not to glorify man's abilities. We have to realize that God will take our weaknesses. He will take things that we lack. He will take needs in people and then supernaturally anoint them for a task. In other words, if God calls you to do something, he'll give you the power and the ability to do it. He'll enable you to do it. You need to make sure that you have the right character, and you have to make sure that God is anointing you for that position, for that task, and he will use you. You can't have just character without the anointing of the ability. But on the other hand, we've seen people who've had lots of ability, but they haven't had the moral character to go along with it. Both are important. Both are needed if we are going to be keepers of the oil in these days. I told this story once before. Brian remembered. On a dark, stormy night, when the waves rolled like mountains and not a star was to be seen, a boat rocking and plunging near the Cleveland Harbor. "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" asked the captain, seeing only the light from the lighthouse. "Quite sure," replied the pilot. "Where are the lower lights?" "Gone out, sir." "Can you make the harbor?" "We must, or we perish." With a strong hand and a brave heart, the old pilot turned the wheel. But alas, in the darkness, he missed the channel. And with a crash upon the rocks, the boat was shivered, and many a life lost in a watery grave. D.L. Moody said, "Brethren, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning." Upon hearing those words, going home, thinking about them, Philip Bliss said to his wife, "Do you know that is so true? We need to keep the lower lights burning." He sat down and he wrote a song. "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. For to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Try now to make the harbor, some poor sailor may be lost." Tonight, are you willing to be a keeper of the oil? Are you willing to keep the lights on? Are you willing to keep the fire lit? Are you willing to be a Joash? Are you willing to be Jehovah-fired? Are you willing to be a person with a character and the anointing that God can use? Are you willing to be a person whom the Holy Spirit trusts with his gifts? Are you willing to keep the Spirit alive in your heart and in our church? God needs us to be a keeper of the oil. God needs to keep the light of salvation shining. God needs to keep the fire of the Holy Spirit with his gifts and manifestations burning. God needs people. God needs us. God needs you to be a keeper of the oil. I'll leave you with Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." You light the lower lights. You are a keeper of the oil. Your job may be obscure, but you're a keeper of the oil. God needs keepers of the Holy Spirit in these days. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Simple question tonight. Are you willing to be a keeper of the oil? Are you willing to have the character that's necessary? Are you willing to let the Lord anoint you and give you the ability? If you're willing to be a keeper of the oil, would you just raise your hand to the Lord, up and then down. Lord, I commit. I want to be a keeper of the oil. You can count on me. I'll do my part. I'll do my best. Thank you, Lord, for these hands tonight. Lord, tonight, we so desperately want to be a keeper of the oil. We want to keep the light of salvation going. We want to keep the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to keep that going. Not just doctrine, but practice and experience. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit, and we want to see the gifts of the Spirit. We want to be a keeper of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord. Enable us to be all that you want us to be. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. For to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled, while the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam along the shore. You may be singing the chorus a little bit different than what I have up here tonight. This third time, let's sing it the way that we're familiar with it, the way it's in the hymnal there, okay? Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor. In the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. What's that last line? Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. That's how it goes in some books. So let the lower lights be, trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Let's try singing it that way again, all right? Lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make a harbor, maybe lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor family.